I'm Helen.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is a Squiggly Careers podcast, a weekly show where we dive into the ins, outs, ups and downs of work and give you some tools to try out, some ideas for action and a little bit of squiggly career support so that you can navigate all that stuff with a bit more confidence and control.
And this week we're talking about how to be organised at work. And this has actually given us more debate and discussion than you might imagine. And Helen and I were going, are we organised? Are we actually incredible at this? Or have we actually got loads of room for improvement? And I think probably the answer is a bit of both. But we do feel like in a squiggly career, it is incredibly useful to be organised because we're all working on so many different tasks, different projects at the same time. I think it is hard to succeed. It's hard to get stuff done if you are not organised. And I think sometimes people pretend to not be organised. You know, I've definitely come across people
they
who...
They pretend to not be?
Yeah. You know, almost like, oh yeah, I'm sort of very...
I just sort of happen.
Fly away and it just sort of happens. And then either those people are secretly more organised than they're saying, or they've got someone helping them is the other thing that I've definitely seen. So I think sometimes it's a bit undervalued and underappreciated.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Rated as a skill. I was starting to figure out, I was like, well, what are the outcomes? What do you get better at if you're more organised? Then the list actually gets quite long pretty quickly. You're like, oh, well, I'll be better at prioritising. I'll do more of the work that has higher impact. I'll be better at collaborating with the other people that I work with. In a hybrid world that most of us are working in, it sort of relies on us being organised and being quite flexible in that organisation. And that's like just getting started. So I feel this applies to all of us. But as we'll talk about, I don't think we're all the same.
I expect a flowy conversation, everybody, because I think we have got some thoughts, but I think we might also find them in the flow of the conversation. One of the things when we were sort of researching around this that stuck for me was a report I was reading from Asana. Asana are a tool that lots of people use for organisation. I actually use it quite a lot when I was at Virgin. But in their report, they said that organisation reduces work about work. So this is stuff like, you know, follow up on tasks, like where are you, this was Sarah, have you done this, or switching between apps. So I think in my day I probably go from Teams to WhatsApp to Notes to my inbox, and then I cycle around all those things again about 100 times, looking for status updates, searching for things on the shared drive, you know, work about work. And apparently that's 60% of our days are dominated by work about work.
That's depressing, right?
I know, isn't it? Because that means you've got basically 40% left for the really value-adding stuff, like the skilled work where you're really using your strengths, the strategic work where you're taking your role beyond what it looks like today. I mean, that's the stuff that I love. And I'm like, oh, I want to do more of that. I don't want to be searching for stuff on a shared drive and working out where I've put my last action. So when we're more organised, we get more time to do the good stuff.
So I was doing quite a lot of researching and reading about being organised because I didn't want this to feel like a conversation that we've all heard before. Helen and I were thinking today, how can we be both unique and useful? And I was reading a book called How to Take Smart Notes. Now, it's not a book for everyone because really it's about how to take smart notes if you do a certain type of writing. Maybe you write non-fiction or academic papers. So it's sort of quite a niche read. But I do think some of the principles are really helpful. And this quote comes from that book and it just really stood out for me, I think, in terms of what's the job to do here when we're thinking about being organised. And the quote was, "A good structure is something you can trust. It relieves you from the burden of remembering and keeping track of everything. If you can trust the system, you can let go of the attempt to hold everything together in your head and you can start focusing on what's important." probably that appeals to me because I'm someone who holds quite a lot of stuff in their heads and may at some point in time lose notes that I make. And I do like this idea of a system that you can trust, you know, and then you can sort of let go. It's that, actually, it goes back to, doesn't it? It's like freedom in a framework again. So I think that's just an interesting way of framing what we're trying to think about today.
And in terms of how we're going to structure the conversation, because a good structure is something you can trust, I heard recently, what we're going to do is reflect, first of all, on when you might feel most least or organised in your work today, because it's useful to have a bit of sort of self-awareness to get you started. So Sarah and I will talk about some of that stuff. And then what we wanted to do is then talk about ways in which you can own your own organisation and some ideas for action that we've got for that. But then we also wanted to focus on how you can also have kind of more collective organization in your teams. And the reason we want to split these two things up, so how you self-organize and how your team stays organized, is we think it is very hard to do one without the other. So you can have all the tips, tools and tricks in the world to stay organized, but if they are in conflict with the way your team works, it's really hard to stay with them. And then if your team is really slick and it has all these tools and techniques, but they don't connect with how you like to manage your work, then that feels a bit out of sync. So we wanted to kind of cover these two things, like how you can self-organize, how your team can stay organized, and share some different ideas for action that you can take away from today.
And I think that was quite an important insight for me as you start thinking about how to be organized, because if you were to give yourself a score out of 10 for how organized you are, if you then give yourself another score out of 10 for how organized you think your team are those two scores the same or are they different? And my hypothesis would be everybody will score themselves higher than they would score the team. Maybe not. Maybe you're someone who you're like, I'm massively disorganised and my team are really organised. I can certainly think of people in our team who are more organised than I think either Helen or I. But I still think that's probably often the gap. I think that's almost one of the most interesting things here is sort of the self-organising and the together organising. So we thought we'd dive into that a bit more. So Helen, when are you at your most and your least organised? I'm really looking forward to this.
It's because I think you're better at this than me. Or I don't know whether you're better at it, but you have a tighter handle over it. I think you're more vocal, I think, about your organisation, about what should be done and how it should be done. And I think you surface that more. So you, I see your way of organising more, and I think it influences the way the team works more than mine. I think I kind of have a way and I keep it to myself.
I trust that you'll get there, probably, in brackets.
That's so funny. And I sort of just let you do your thing, even though it doesn't really work for me because it makes you happy.
Oh my God, imagine if this was the moment where we were like, well, this is it. We've had enough of each other. It's like being organised. It's going to break us.
Maybe. So when do I feel most organised? So I have this year created a new little system for myself that seems to be working pretty well. It's quite retro, actually. I've tried so many tools and apps and things before, but my new thing is I have a diary for the year and it's not so heavy that I can't carry it around with me. So this comes every day. This diary is with me. And in a week, I have a bit of a dump that I write down, like what are all my work actions, what are all my home actions, actually, that's in there as well. And then I put them onto each day. So I know, like, I can see now what I need to do. I'm recording this on Monday. And then I literally just carry things over from another day to another week. And that has worked quite well for me because I can see it all really clearly. And I feel like every week I sort of start afresh. So for example, this morning on Monday, I went through my diary. I looked at what I hadn't completed at the end of last week. I created myself a new one. And it makes me feel, particularly at the start of the week, in control, and I can see what needs to be done. And then what I do throughout the week is if I'm in a meeting with Sarah or if I'm in a team meeting, I have one notes thing on my phone, which is called Actions Dump, and I just capture it as soon as it comes up. I don't think about it more than that. I just stick it in Actions Dump, and then at the end of the day, I add it to my diary. Because, you know, getting my diary out in a meeting and adding it to it just feels a bit weird, but I don't like to hold them in my head. If I hold them into my head, I worry that I'm going to forget or I stop listening. It's just this one Actions Dump thing on my phone, stick it in there, and then at the end of it I just have a process where I go through, clear that out, and then make sure it's added in the diary.
It sounds very organized.
But that seems to be working for me better than I've used way more sophisticated tools before. Like I've used Trello and I've used Microsoft Project and I've used so many things and it just hasn't stuck with me. But I don't know, the retro paper diary thing does seem to.
When are you least organised then?
Oh my gosh, I've put a long list here. I think...
Maybe pick
one.
Oh
my gosh. Okay, I'll pick one. I think I'm at my least organised when I come out of meetings. So often in meetings, I will generate ideas, and because I like being helpful, I'll come up with solutions. And a lot of the time I'm probably saying that I will do something. So, okay, well, one thing we could do is, I tell you what I could do is, and I'll do that a lot as part of how I interact with people. But what it means is that in that meeting, I've probably created 5 more things that I now need to organise into my week in order for it to get done. And I either am then back to back with another meeting where I'm just accumulating more and more of these actions. You know, I forget, oh gosh, what did I say I was going to do in that meeting or whatever? Or I've created so many things that I now need to do that it's just very hard to stay organised, because I'm like, oh, I already had this list and I've been in 3 meetings today and I've just doubled my list by the end of the day of that. And then I think that's when I'm my least organised, because I'm accumulating more and more actions because I've been in the meetings, I've got less and less time to do them. And that's where I go from feeling organised to just feeling a bit overwhelmed. I mean, that's just one of the ways that I'm not at my best with organisation.
But you can see, I think you also need to have a bit of empathy with yourself there.
Mm.
We also have to recognise, I think, what are the tools or the ideas or the shortcuts that can help us be organised within our context, because you're always going to have a lot on. And I think maybe sometimes we're hoping that some of those factors will change.
I think my own reflection for that is, do I need to create as many actions that I do in those situations?
Yeah, do you know what? I was listening to you just thinking, I don't have any actions very often.
I know.
And then I was thinking, do I say that? Because then she might start giving me actions.
No, you're very good. Yeah,
that's partly we're different in that way and you probably work harder. But I was like, I just don't even recognise that as a problem.
But I think part of like reflecting on when am I most and least organised is becoming aware of how you maybe create some of these challenges for yourself. Even if you gave me all the tools in the world and I'm like, oh, that's a brilliant solution, Sarah, I'll definitely do that. If I keep working that way in meetings, I'm always working against myself. So I think it's just really important that you understand like what's getting in the way of you staying organised, because it makes all the solutions that we're going to suggest just more likely to work well for you if you've done a bit of that kind of thinking.
Definitely.
On that point, when are you at your best and worst in terms of your organisation?
I think I'm at my best organising my time. I think to your previous observation, yeah. I think I take it very seriously and I'm very keenly aware, I think, of how my time impacts my energy, my ability to be at my best and just generally like add value in what we do. I work really hard to not have back-to-back meetings because I don't like it. And occasionally it does happen. But I think I would very quickly become disorganised if that was my reality too often. I'm very future orientated, so I look ahead. I block things out in my calendar and in my diary. I have high levels of control, just generally, in terms of like to be in control. But also I do think it's worth, I suppose, at least recognising I can make a lot of those decisions for myself. You know, compared to, I do think, some jobs I've been in or some companies, I would have been exactly the same, but I would have had less control over my time. Now I think I have more choices available to me. So I do think that's partly like I feel lucky. I feel lucky that I can look ahead, be organised with my time, how I want to work, and therefore I'm better because of it. But that's not always been like, you know, the context that I've been surrounded by. And then at my worst, I mean, if I could fix this, it would be useful. So if we could get to the answer for this before the end of today, that'd be ideal. I cannot get to a good system of collating and collecting ideas, actions and notes. And so
That's a lot. Ideas, well, actions and notes.
Oh, yeah. So I suppose ultimately it's writing stuff down is like the summary. And what I do at the moment is write some things on my phone, write some things on some giant yellow post-it notes, which I really like, write some other things on post-its, write some other things to myself in my head that don't ever actually get written down. I leave voice notes. I'm really scattergun. For someone who is, I do think I am very organised, but in terms of that specific thing, I think I don't like the idea of being constrained. So I sort of just do what sort of works. It definitely, you know, like works for me. I feel good doing it, but then I do not feel good when I then think, oh, I've missed an action, or where have those notes gone from that conversation? And then honestly, I'm like, the bin. Because I try to then tidy up and I'm like, oh no. And I did read, we asked on Instagram, some of our Squiggly Career community, like, what are your kind of top tips and things? And my partner's got one that actually doesn't use very much, so I could probably steal it from him. He's got one of those Remarkable tablets.
Yes, I saw that. Someone said my system has completely been transformed by
having a remarkable.
Yes.
And what's the remarkables, if people haven't seen them, they're like, they look a bit like iPads. You know, you can take notes in them. The notes get converted, I think, into like text documents. You can have everything in one place. You never lose anything because it's sort of always there. And I could probably try that out by borrowing his, to be honest. I think it's because I sort of have this thing of like, I love the immediacy and in the momentness sometimes of thinking, well, I want to write this in my phone because I'm having this idea now. And it feels really important to like write it somewhere. And so then I think, and that happens all the time, and we're always doing quite different things. And so I've just never, ever cracked that. You know, like a continual red flag is something I keep coming back to, and it definitely creates problems for me. And it makes me feel really disorganized, which actually is quite an unfamiliar feeling for me, because I think the rest of the time I feel really on top of things. I need to sort it. So if someone could help me with that, that'd be great.
Feel free to send us ideas today to Helen
to help
Sarah
me.
At squigglycareers.com, or maybe just Sarah at amazingif.com. Send ideas Sarah's way. Okay, so I guess the point of that was maybe a bit of empathy. If you feel like you sometimes get disorganised and overwhelmed by it, so do we too. But also just to recognise what you do well. There'll definitely be some things that you do well that you want to do more of. And also how you might personally be contributing to some of the problem. And no tool will fix that unless you kind of understand that. So I always think, for example, Sarah, I think one of the things for Sarah is you are a generator. You generate every day ideas and insights and sort of improvements. That is just you, and it is incredibly value adding to the business. But what it does also do is create lots of actions that then require organizing, whether it's yours or mine or the team's. And so there's a constant flow of additional actions that need organizing because you're sort of generative, and it'll be a tension because then you'll be like, well, I don't want to stop generating because that's where I have my value. But then it also creates attention for the organization. So it's just, I think, understanding how we all potentially create sort of problems that we're all trying to manage for ourselves is important.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So now we're going to talk about how you can be organised, and we're going to divide the ideas into two sections. Section one, self-organising. So how can I be more organised? Section two, how can teams stay organised? So how can we be more organised together? And hopefully in both of these, there'll be some ideas that you can try out for yourself. And I'm sure everyone else will have lots of things to add as well. So ideas for self-organising. Helen and I have taken five different areas that we feel are kind of common organisational areas. There might be opportunities, there might be obstacles for you right now. And we're going to talk about what we do, if anything, or if we've got a gap, maybe the ideas that we've stolen from our Squiggly Career community. So these five ideas are your inbox, so email, time, tasks, projects, and sort of learning and growth. So things where to do those things well, you need to be organised. And what was really interesting as Helen and I were planning for the podcast is we realised our approach to being organised is so different. And so we thought, A, that's interesting, because then you sort of get double the ideas and you can pick and choose the ones that you like and discard the ones that you don't. But I think what is very clear with this is the most important thing is that you create your own system, is that you do have your version that works for you. And I do think there is a temptation sometimes to compare yourself here and to look at other people and be like, why am I not doing that? Or why have I never used Trello? Or it feels a bit old school going back to a diary, you know, like Helen feels like she was like, oh, she's naturally very techie, but she's found something that's very sort of pen and paper based. And so I think it's sort of not judging your system too much, but actually putting quite a lot of intentional effort into thinking, well, what will work for me, noticing if it's not, and then sort of trying something new instead. So Helen, do you want to get started with emails and inboxes? Because you don't only have your inbox. Your inbox also shows all of our inboxes as well. So like Amazing If ones, Helen's there at squigglycareers.com. You see a lot of emails every day. How do you stop yourself getting overwhelmed by those?
Oh, well, I do often get quite overwhelmed by it. And also I see lots of like out of offices when we send mailing lists and things like that. I'm like, oh, it's overwhelming. And I think my most useful thing I do to organise myself through my email is I try to spend as little time in my inbox as possible. Now, I know that sounds really weird, but what I do is I move things from my inbox into folders that have like a different type of action. So for example, we work with lots of companies delivering career programs. So I have a company folder, and that's often one of the first things that I will go to, because there'll be live programs or there'll be requests for new programs. So I've got anything that comes into my inbox that is related to a company program, new or existing, goes straight into that company folder. And then I have a folder for podcast inquiries. So any questions that you might send as listeners and stuff like that, that goes straight into a podcast folder. I have a folder of finance stuff, so like invoices to be paid, that goes straight into like my payments folder. And then I do have one which is to action, which is, it needs a bit of thought. It could be a contract to sign or something like that, but kind of like this is an urgent to action. This is not a kind of a read later. And that means that the stuff that sits in my inbox, basically that stuff is just less urgent, and I can kind of go through it on a Friday and I can delete, or I have a completed folder that I just stick things in that I don't really need to do anything with. But my highest priority stuff has been filtered really quickly, and I don't have to do it then, but I move it from my inbox to one of those folders really, really quickly. And then I'm spending time with a particular type of activity. So if I go into my payments folder, I know that's half an hour of me doing payments. Or if I go into my clients folder, I know that's like, you know, an hour when I'm going to be creating certain proposals, or just, you know, thinking about who's going to respond to that one. And that helps me keep my brain in one type of activity. I think my inbox is just full of so many different types of activity that if I just worked through my inbox in a really linear way, my head would be all over the place. So I'd rather file it into like one type of working at a time. That works well for me. So folders, basically.
Smart. That sounds very smart. Oh, yeah. Interesting. And actually, I use folders a bit. My partner, I remember seeing his inbox, you know, when everyone starts working from home and you're like, oh, that's interesting.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. And he is like Mr. Folder. I always think it's fascinating. You know, like inbox zero people. Are you an inbox zero person? Does everything go in a folder? No.
I dream of doing that, because what's left in my inbox shouldn't really need to be there. I dream of it, but no, I just do the stuff that goes in the folders.
Right, okay. Yeah, so he was like an inbox zero person, and you're like, so different to me. But everything, so some of the stuff he filed, as you described, but some of it had rules. You know, you can attach rules to emails. Yes. So I guess it depends on the sort of job you do. But like, if an email comes from this person, it goes into this file. And so some things go into your inbox and then straight back out again into the, like, the right folders. It like blew my mind. It's quite different to how I manage my inbox. So I have a very simplistic system. And so nothing goes into any folders. I just red flag. That's it.
You have no folders?
No.
Do you have a completed folder?
No.
So does your inbox just have like all emails in it?
Yeah.
That is mad. That is madness.
Why though?
But obviously it works. I just find that really overwhelming. I'm glad it works for you. And I think you stay on top of your inbox more than me, I would say, which is partly your process and partly the volume.
I just red flag, and then I go to all the red flags. And I actually probably do the opposite to you. I work through them quite systematically. Then I deflag. I'm like, red flag. Deflagged, red flagged, deflagged. I probably always have a bit of a sense of urgency, like in my own mind, but I do that filtering kind of for myself.
I wonder if we swapped inboxes.
Oh my God, I don't want your.
Can you imagine?
I don't want your inbox.
That you'd hate my inbox.
It'd be fascinating though. Like, what would I end up doing? I can imagine doing something quite dramatic and just being like, no.
I'd come back and be like, what has she done? Yeah, yeah, yeah. My folders are gone. Let's move on to time then. So how do you stay organised in terms of how you are using your time? Again, we've got a slightly different thing here. So what I do is the tasks that I have got, I basically block time out of them on my diary. And I know that sounds really obvious, but before I did that, I would have like a list of things to do and I wouldn't have allocated any time to do them. So I'd be like in my meetings and it gets like 5 o'clock, 5:30, whenever meeting stopped. And I'd be like, whoa, I've now got to work like 4 or 5 hours tonight to get this stuff done. You know, I still do have some situations like that. However, what I tend to do now is that if I said to Sarah, oh, look, I'll work on that contract or I'll pick up that project, I will assign the time to do it in my diary and I will try not to commit to doing something unless I've put the time in my diary, because ultimately, if I haven't put the time in my diary, I don't know when it's going to get done. It's just it's like a want. It's a want to do something without the time to actually do it. So that's what I personally do with organising my time. If I've got a task, I assign the time to do it and I don't commit to getting it done unless I have like assigned the time to do it.
Yeah, and I think I do that to an extent as well. I think it's a smart thing, you know, when you're working on a project where, let's say, you've got to write something or you're working on a proposal for someone, that's not just going to magically happen. And lots of people in our community, and I don't think neither Helen nor I do this, so we've not got first-hand experience of it, loads of people raving about colour coding their diaries, colour coding their calendars, I'm assuming for different kinds of work. So maybe meetings are all green, maybe you don't want to put them as red. Meetings are all green and maybe deep work is purple. So maybe that just gives you an at-a-glance view, I guess, of how you're spending your time, which might help you to feel more organised and in control. I also find that time zones helps me to stay organised. So I will often think, okay, so when I say time zone, I sort of mean like today, how do I stay organised today? How am I going to stay organised this week? And what does it look like to be organised over the next month? And I think I oscillate a lot every day between different time zones. And that actually does really help me to stay organised, because then I spot, oh, well, if we don't do this thing now, today, then actually it's not going to be ready for 3 weeks' time, because even today we were talking about needing to get some materials printed, for example. And so I think the kind of that time zone mindset just helps me to sort of stay on top of stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm very good at like a dump and do. So I can think quickly. So I'm like, okay, so we need to do this, this and this and this. And whereas you are much better at that look forward to determine what we need to do by when. It's that you always bring that into our meetings, which I find really useful.
So let's talk about all these tasks that I don't do. How do you do your tasks?
Well, I think mine was what I talked about, this kind of diary-based system that I've got. So that combination of I have an immediate dump, which is in my phone, and then I have a kind of more organised solution, which is in my diary, and I just keep the two connected, and I'm not letting other systems creep in. Because I have done before, I've kind of used those other like appy tools. Then you just have too many things in too many places. So the dump on my phone, the diary, which has my list in, and then I start a clean page for the next week on a Monday morning, and I feel like by the end of each week, I feel a little bit out of control. But then I just start again on a Monday. Like, bring back the control. That's what works for me with my tasks.
I think the thing that I found interesting is actually it's very rare that I don't do something that I said I'm going to do. But it is very reliant on the quality of my head and my brain and my headspace. And so that does mean I'm definitely one of those people who will remember at 11 p.m. at night, oh, did we do that thing that we said we were going to do? Or have we ordered that printing? And it can be anything. And so I think back to that quote we started with around a system that you can trust so you can sort of let go to do more important things. I think probably the motivation for me to do something about this is that's not where I want to be using my brain power, but I definitely use my brain power for remembering and thinking, I don't know if that's been done. It might even be like an interdependency across the team. I'm not sure if we've done something. And I think if I could create a system around that, it would free up brain space. So that's my job to do. Let's talk projects, because you suddenly showed me before this podcast, you were like, well, this is what I do. And I was like, what is that? Talk to us about your project grid approach, Helen.
My Project Grid approach, well, this was in response to feeling a bit overwhelmed recently. And I sometimes find when you're overwhelmed, it's sort of worse in your head. And then I got it down on paper and I was like, no, it is quite a lot. So
basically, it's worse in real life.
Yeah, I was like, no, now I can see it. And that is why I was feeling so overwhelmed by it. So I just got an A4 piece of paper and I folded it up. So I have sort of 12 boxes.
How small are these boxes?
I mean, tiny. A4 paper divided into 12. And then each box represented sort of a project in progress. And I wrote the headlines. So we've got gremlins and our other thing that we're working on that I'm not allowed to talk about yet. Some certification and some client things, all kind of, and the podcast and different things. And then I did 3 actions under each. Now, are there more than 3 actions? Yes, for each one of them. But I just tried to zoom out a little bit and be like, what are the headline things? If you just did this, then you would have been making progress. And it helped me feel really organized because right now I'm not thinking about the other 11 boxes. I'm just going to do this one that says people at the top of it. Or right now I'm not going to think about the other 11 boxes. I'm just going to do squiggle and stay. And I could see really, really clearly. And the messiness that was in my head suddenly felt a bit more manageable. And I think I could probably benefit from doing this once a month. I don't do it once a month at the moment, but it has been a really helpful thing for just for me to sort of have on my desk and just kind of come back to. I took a photo of it on my phone as well so that I had one that I could take with me when I was out and about. If I was like, right, I've got a bit of time, which one of these projects am I going to focus on first? And that was helpful for me.
It sounds to me like you've started doing it reactively. So you've reacted to overwhelm, lots to get your head around, and you've created that system. But now you could use that system proactively. You could be like, okay, on the first Monday of every month, I'll update the grid, or the grid's an ongoing thing that I keep coming back to.
I wonder if there's like a difference between a solution and a system. So that was a solution for me then for a problem, but actually turning it into a system means how could I use this more routinely? Like when that's probably the thing for me to work out. And I think when you're listening, like what solutions have worked for you on an occasion reactively?
Yeah.
And then how could you turn that into a system that you could use more regularly?
Yeah, and I think mine for managing projects is definitely a system because it's something that we've used now for a couple of years and we've talked about in the podcast before. So every quarter, Helen and I together agree our win watch, which I do think benefits me more than Helen, albeit I just talk to Helen about it. So she sort of has no choice. Back to her, I think you just vocalise it. I think she's saying, you just tell me, which I definitely do. But that definitely is the system for me because it keeps me organised. So whenever I'm thinking, where shall I spend my time? What matters now? What's most important? I default back every single time to the Win Watch because there's always loads of stuff we could do. And because, to your point around me generating things, I've always got more ideas than I've ever got time. But if I just look back at that, I think, okay, well, these are the, and there's usually 6 to 8 things per quarter, I would say. These are 6 to 8 things that matter most. Right, how do I make sure I'm really organised and I'm making progress on those things? And it's just, it kind of keeps me honest and I think it keeps me organised. And I think it helps me organise everything. My tasks, my time, who I'm meeting, you know, like the trickle and the ripple effect of that sort of system is really important for me. I actually don't know what I would do without that.
I do
know what I'd do because I would just like do my own thing, which could
rogue,
be detrimental.
Rogue.
Yeah, basically. That is what happened. I would go rogue.
Keep with Winwatch. The last one on here is about learning and growth. And we've got a shared one here, which is something we introduced probably about 12 months ago now, learning to look forward to lists. And I think thinking about organisation as something to look forward to gives it kind of a more positive thing. Like it's not just about managing an overwhelming amount of work and all that sort of stuff. I think learning to look forward to lists it's helped us to keep learning for ourselves on the agenda. It's helped us to kind of get excited about it, to think ahead, which especially for somebody like me who's very kind of in the moment, I think learning to look forward to lists have helped me to stay organized about some things that are kind of further out from now. And they work well on kind of segueing onto what we're going to talk about next about how teams can stay organized. Learning to look forward to could be a list that you do for yourself, but it is also something that could work well for you to do as a team so that you can stay organized and committed to learning together too.
So as a team, how can we stay organized? One of the conclusions that Helen and I came to as we were talking about this is that team organization definitely needs to be explicit, not assumed. I think you've got to write this down in somewhere that everybody sees it and that also everybody is sort of signed up to. You've got to see it and sign up to it. I think the own system organisation, your self-organisation, is completely up to you. I feel like there's a real tension between saying, well, we all have to organise ourselves in the same way. I think we are both relatively organised, but we do it in a very different way. And I think the last thing we want to do is sort of depersonalize the organization and be like, you must do your to-do list in the way that Helen's doing it with the diary. And you're like, well, that's never going to work for me. But I do think there are some things that, as a team, if you are all sharing and signing up to, whether it's tech, tools, some of the other ideas we're going to talk about, if people are second guessing that, I think that can create problems. And actually, one of the things that we've spotted, like, we don't have this written down somewhere in Amazing If, and you can quite quickly see how some of these things fall down if you haven't kind of got it somewhere that everybody is really visible for everybody.
So we've got a couple of different ideas for how you can get to this sort of explicit organisation for teams. One of them is making sure that you've got moments or meetings in your week when you are discussing your organisation overlaps. So, for example, we do this on a Monday morning. We have a team meeting on a Monday morning where everyone talks through a couple of things, actually, like priorities for the week ahead, high energy moments, red flags. And what's really useful in that conversation is you can spot where something that you're trying to do might have a dependency on somebody else. So if I'm saying to Sarah, oh, I really want to get that next chapter written by Friday, but what, in order for that to happen, I need you to review it on Wednesday. Like, it's very hard for me to stay organized with my agenda unless Sarah knows there's an overlap that she's involved in. And so you could do that in a meeting where you talk about it, and you could actually really explicitly ask each other, is there anything that anyone here needs to do in order to help you get to that outcome by the end of the week? So you can ask that question. Or you could do it asynchronously, for example. You could just all, like, on a Monday, write down your top priorities and kind of fast flag anybody that's kind of involved in getting to those outcomes so that people can see where there are some overlaps in you staying organized.
And so our next idea, which I really like, and we don't do as a team, but I love it, so I'm definitely going to encourage everybody to give it a try, is to have some team stay organised shortcuts. How do we stay organised? Here are our shortcuts. And I think this will be different for every team in terms of what you agree these shortcuts might be, but just to give you some examples. One could be, every time that we talk to each other or share with each other a task or an action, there's always a, what's the task? Who's going to do it? By when? So the what, the who, the when. Now, that sounds really simple, and you'd think, surely we all do that all the time. I can think of two examples last week where I didn't do that, where I was very clear about the what and the who, but I wasn't clear about the when. And equally, nobody asked me the when. And so then that creates problems, because then I had just assumed magically someone was going to work out when something needed to get done. And then you create pressure, and also you create disorganisation, because then somebody's going, oh, right, I'm now having to reprioritise, which I hadn't expected. And, you know, that's when we all start to feel like overwhelmed and out of control and sort of the opposite of organised. We were talking to our team, the team meeting this morning, about what do we do well and what don't we do well. And definitely one of our even better ifs was, people were just sort of suggesting sometimes, everyone's very nice, they were just suggesting, but I say sometimes, there's a lack of clarity of, like, who's doing what. So I was like, obviously for the team, sometimes they feel they don't know who's meant to be doing something. And I think sometimes there's a lack of clarity on the when. So you're like, that would be a really good stay organised shortcut for our team. Another one could be, we find it difficult to find things in our shared drive. And everyone on our team just goes, yes. But none of us are quite sure why. Nobody particularly wants to sort it out, I don't think either. I don't see lots of volunteers for people going like, oh yeah, I'd love to do that as a job. But somebody in our extended team last week did a really good version of what this could look like, which was, they put all of the important links for a project on an Excel spreadsheet in one place. And so actually for that particular project, she has really helped us to stay organised. She's essentially created a stay organised shortcut in this Excel spreadsheet. And so Helen and I were saying before this call, there's probably 25 documents that we all use really frequently. And so actually, do you know what? If we just created almost like our own search engine for our 25 most used and useful documents, here's the links to where all those things are. Yes, it doesn't solve all of the problem, but do you know what? It probably solves 80% of the problem. We'd all feel more organised. We'd all feel like we were getting the most up-to-date stuff and we weren't kind of getting the wrong documents or old documents. And that would be a really good stay organised shortcut for us as a team.
And the only other one to add there is how you are using tech together. So some really simple rules about what tech we use for what is really helpful. I think I've talked about this before in the podcast, but I saw a really good example of this at Microsoft, because Microsoft obviously got a whole host of tools that they need everyone to use. But they came up with this sort of inner and out of loop rules about this is how we use tech if it's a very project or team specific thing. And then if you've got other stakeholders or other people involved, is it broader? These are sort of outer loop. So things like like Yammer were sort of outer loop communications because you could involve lots of people in those. They're sort of broadcast tools, whereas a channel on Microsoft Teams or the Slack or whatever equivalent, that was more inner. That was like, if you've got a project, you set up a channel so the right people are connected to that particular topic. Now, that's just trying to bring that to life. But I think about, for you and your team, if you think about, well, what are we working on? And how does tech enable us? I think having some simple rules around, you know, we have particular channels, or we have particular projects, and also what tech are you going to kill? Because I think what tends to happen is people bring in, oh, this works for me, to Sarah's point on, it's fine. It's totally fine if people have this works for me. And I think it's also totally fine to experiment with tech too. But I think that over time, that means it can get a bit confusing and people can be a bit like, oh, we tried that and we're not really using that anymore. And I think every so often, I think you need to do a bit of a, what tech are we going to kill, because it's not helping us keep organized as a team, and get back to, these are the core techs that help us work better together. So I think having those discussions and those rules and that list of, here is our team tech, I think that is also a really important shortcut to stay organized. And the last idea for action is all about team rhythms. And this came from something that worked really well for me a while ago that isn't working very well anymore. So we had a rhythm where we'd sort of divided our week up into doing Monday, so very kind of action-y, operation-y, delivery Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which works for what we do, because that would be like delivering sessions, or that could be like some sort of meetings that you were having with external people. And then what we used to call Freedom Friday. And that was a day where you had a bit more sort of control over your time. Maybe there weren't as many meetings on that day, so you were sort of really had a lot of autonomy over what you kind of manage your time on that day. That works so well for me, and it works really, really well if the team is synced together, because there's no point me having Freedom Friday if that's when everyone's decided they want a meeting with me. Now, I think doing your entire week is quite hard as a team. I mean, it's worth having the conversation, what would our perfect week look like of staying organized together as a team. So it's worth having the conversation, but I think it is actually quite hard to keep doing that. But what you could look at is like a team rhythm, which is like every second Friday, we're going to keep free of meetings. And so we don't put meetings in with each other on the second Friday of the month, for example. Or every Wednesday morning is a kind of deep work time for you individually as a team. So we're not going to have, you know, we're not going to send each other emails during that time. We're not going to, you know, at each other on, you know, whatever platform you're using. Having these rhythms that help teams stay organized, but you've all got to agree them, and then you've all got to protect that time together, I think is a really helpful way that teams can get stuff done. Because otherwise, you know, we are all trying to do things at different times, and it can be really hard to stay organized on the thing you want to do when, like, no one else is working in the same way as you.
Yeah, I always find it a really tricky one, isn't it? Because there's so many factors that can influence your ability to do that. But the companies and teams I've heard do it really well, do it in the way that you've described, where they sort of take, they don't try to do all of it, you know, like, because otherwise I think you over-engineer your organization. I think what you just do is like, okay, but could we do 2 hours on a Wednesday morning? You're like, okay, that feels realistic. And actually, that might be quite a big difference from where you are today. So it might be something to experiment with.
So we will summarise all of those different ideas for action, both for staying self-organised and then for keeping a team organised together, in the pod sheet. And you can get the link to the pod sheet, which is just an A4 summary. You can get that from our website, which is amazingif.com. If you just go to the podcast page, you'll find it there, or in the show notes to the episode on Apple Podcasts, you'll find that there too.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that has helped you stay a bit more organised. Other ideas, let us know. You can always email us, and it will go into Helen's folder. And that is helenandsarah@squigglycareers.com. And that's how you make sure you get a reply, because she's got such a great system.
Oh, gosh. Now you've put
me to the
test.
Everything for this. That's everything for this week. Thank you so much for listening. I'm back with you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.